Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship.
Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
The Great Reversal, a prayer inspired by Isaiah 60, written by Kelly Ann Hall. Look up, love. Take your eyes off the ground. Show your face. A new day is here. The light is rising over you, shining brightly, moving shadows, touching your face. You are brilliant with it. Darkness may come and go, but the glory of our Creator is a constant companion, a steady light. Many will see you struggle to live. Your choice to stand up and walk in the light and be changed. Have the courage to truly see not only the problems, but the one who remains with you holding the light. We are all coming together, family, neighbor, and exiles taking our seats at the table. We are learning. We are healing. So take the gift of this day you are given. Let the light enlighten you, emanate from within you, become you, be you. Power is shifting, and it won't look like we think when love reigns. Cities riddled with the wreckage of war and marked by the scars of empire will exchange the sounds of violence and ruin for the clamor of co-creation and communion. Through the power of God, the oppressed and those stripped of their land are allowed a share in the power. We all will weigh in. Life will grow from the most unexpected places. The smallest and least will be welcomed into the center, and their perspective will matter. Not only will violence cease, we won't want to hurt one another, but cooperate for the goodness of all. The whole nature of creation will change. The sun and moon will not be the light we revolve around. We will turn and grow by the light of God that shows us the illumined way to go. We will be ruled by the power of love. We will be remade and refastened to God and one another. We will learn what harmony means. Look up, love. Take your eyes off the ground. Show your face. A new day is here. The light is rising over you, shining brightly, moving shadows, touching your face. You are brilliant with it. Everything wrong side up is being upended. The table is extending, rounding. You have a place that is only yours, and everyone at this table will have more than enough. So stand up. Open up. Take it all in. And shine.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is hope and abundant life. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, I think. I think it's the first time that we've connected in 2024, probably. So, Happy New Year. And there is so much going on, you know, today. There really isn't much of a time for a sermon when you think about it. So I'm kind of wondering, maybe I should just skip it because we have so much going on. I mean, right, we've got New Year's resolutions because this is our first connection in the new year. So there's that. And of course, we have the arrival of the Magi, you know, the ones who finish the Christmas story for us and the ones who introduce Epiphany. And I know technically Epiphany was yesterday, but it doesn't matter. Epiphany is a state of mind. So that's why I'm wondering if, you know, with all of that, we just sort of skip right over it and just, okay, if I'm honest, I haven't had time to write a sermon. There's just been a lot going on. It's been busy. But then again, when you think about it, I have been preaching the celebration of Epiphany for over 30 years. So I should probably be able to, like, you know, grab an old sermon and use it. Who's going to know? I mean, it's not like anyone's listening to me, right? I mean, I've got a really good one here. About 10 years ago, I think. And it's all about the symbolism of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Because it's not just a case of the Magi regifting, right? It's really stuff about life and death and prayer and presence. I don't know. I have another one here that leans on the possibility that the Magi were Zoroastrians. You know, just like my local coffee shop owner. And this sermon is pretty much a record of the conversation that I had with my friend who owns the coffee shop, and we talked about strangers and hospitality and wisdom from other traditions and perspectives and why you should never drink lattes at night. No, I don't know. Wait a minute. Okay, I have one here. I mean, okay, so this one is pretty dramatic, a little bit over the top. It's a sermon on God's love just being cracked open wide all over the world and has special effects and everything. But I'm really not much for cheap theatrics anymore. That's not my thing. Now, this is a good one. This one's all about science and stars aligning. It's about astronomy and astrology. And you know what? I think with this one, I might just actually convince you that this story happened, just like Matthew said it did. Oh, but then I'm going to get divisive between science and faith. No, forget it. Okay, here's one. Here's one I really. I really like this one. Okay, this one opens with a joke about Johnny Bauer and Lester Pearson and the Happy Gang. It might be a little dated. Yeah. But still, you know, it's written in the form of a palindrome, and it has a limerick right in the middle and great choreography, you know, including a twisting dismount that I can totally stick if I stretch in advance. But it's pretty long. Nah, we don't have time. You see, the thing is, the problem is, I've preached on it all. 30 years, and honestly, I'm pretty sure I've left nothing untouched. Maybe that last line, I guess I really haven't sort of covered the last line that I read. You know, the line that said, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Yeah, I mean, that's it. They left for their own country. Yeah, we figured they would. They headed home. Duh. By another road. Well, of course. I mean,
They went home another way. They wanted to avoid Herod. Of course they did. I mean, they were told in a dream to avoid Herod. So that's not exactly sermon material, you know? Follow your dreams. Run away. And I don't see that being overly inspiring as we begin 2024. But what if it wasn't just Herod who invited the recalculated route, right? I mean, what if it was Jesus that inspired the new travel plans? Not a scary dream. What if it was a life-changing revelation? What do you think? I mean, how could they go home the same way after seeing Jesus? I mean, just think about it. I mean, how could any of us? I remember when I met this woman. She'd just been hired where I worked. I wasn't interested. My life was nicely set. I knew what I was doing. Plans were in place. It was all fine. And then I looked into her eyes and I heard her laugh. I was never, ever the same. As I drove home from work that night, I went a different way. I mean, I don't know if the streets I took were any different, but, oh man, they felt different. Things looked somehow changed, and they were brighter, they were more vital. And pretty soon I was taking another way home every night as I was driving her home. After work, night after night, and I'm still doing it 35 years later. She married me, and the world has been different ever since. You know what I mean? See, I think that's how I know that it was more than Herod that made the Magi go home another way. Because I have found that different way. I've experienced it. I have found that way that is brighter and more vital. I've seen everything differently because I experienced something special. You know, just north of Bowmanville, there's a neighborhood that they've worked together for decades now to put together the most spectacular display of Christmas lights. It's not competitive, right? It's cooperative, and it is dazzling. And I can't tell you how many people I have taken up there to see the lights. Everyone driving up Highway 57, Bowmanville Road, anyone who drives up that road in December always gets off the main route and drives along Old Scugog Road. Just to be dazzled by the lights. You just can't drive past them. You got to go another way and see them. In this past month, I have seen my son and daughter-in-law, and I have played with my granddaughter. Did I mention I have a granddaughter? I have welcomed my eldest son and celebrated his identity and joy. I have Zoomed with my youngest son and his fiance, and my wife and I have cooked and connected and decorated and delighted ourselves through the whole season. I've enjoyed my parents and connected with brothers-in-law and at least one niece and great nieces. And I feel not just rejuvenated, but changed, reborn. The world looks, feels different because I have connected with the people that I love. That's how I know that things change for the Magi. I mean, after this remarkable journey, they knew that they mattered to God. They connected to that thing that they suspected, but they just needed to feel it for real. In Jesus, they could see that they were important, because God had made such an effort to be, well, to be like them, to reach them, to be with them. How could things not be changed after that? I mean, I remember the first time that I sat in a forest Okay? I'm not walking or going anywhere, just sitting and being. Breathing, connecting, sitting on the ground. It was both profoundly physical and spiritual. I went home a different way after that. I've never experienced the forest the same way since then. Earlier this week, I sat with Reverend Ann, and we talked about what we hope to accomplish in the next 6 months that she's with us. Yeah. And I was quickly reminded of how wonderful it is to be in ministry with her. Wow. I met with a couple and planned a wedding that I celebrated yesterday, actually. And I met with a family and planned a funeral for a beloved wife, mother, grandmother, friend. Wedding and funeral, both celebrations of love, and both inspired me to go home a different way. Absolutely. But good or bad, joyous or tragic, what all of these experiences, from playing with my granddaughter, through sitting in the forest, engaging in ministry, embracing life and death, all of these experiences, what they all have in common is that I let them in. I allowed myself to fully experience them. I didn't keep them at a distance. I didn't trap them in my head. I brought each of these experiences into my heart. I opened myself to them. I laughed and I cried. I felt and I thought and I simply was. I was fully present. And in that, I opened my heart. The death of friends, family, the lives of my children, co-workers, my first kiss, meeting the woman who would become my wife for the first time, crying with a friend, laughing with my dad, talking with my son, watching my mom overcome hurdle after hurdle. You can make your own list of things that you have let into your heart, things that have shaped you and changed you, things that have changed the way that you go about in the world, the way that you go home. We all have lists. Today might be a good day just to start putting that list together, just to review. You see, today with the story of the Magi, with a celebration that we call Epiphany, we ask that you include Christmas on that list. An epiphany is a moment in which you become aware of or discover a great truth. For us, it is a moment in which you become aware of or discover God. That's the way we'd put it. Yeah. And we're asking that Christmas be on that list, along with your first kiss, along with some of your greatest moments and some of your hardest moments. We're asking that Christmas be one of those things that changes the way you move in the world, changes the way you go home. I don't care how you got here, where you come from. Doesn't matter to me how wide or how focused you imagine this message might be. Doesn't matter what you think about the star, whether it was a planetary conjunction or an astrological anomaly, a supernova, a little light that hung over the stable, or the imaginings of a great storyteller. Doesn't matter. What matters is that you let the story, that you let God into your heart, and that you go home another way. Maybe literally. Today, literally, drive home another way. Or go for a new walk later today. Turn left where you used to turn right. Actually, that would be turn left where you used to turn right. Notice how things are different when you go home another way. Notice things you might have missed before, because you always go home the other way. Open yourself to the world around you. What matters is that because of Christmas, you do something different. Can't just stay the same. Now, what matters is that you let the power of Christmas change you, and that you don't let 2024 be the same as 2023. We don't need that year again. Whether it was a good year or a bad year, we've had that year. It's time for a new year. God happens in your life because you, me, us, we matter to God. That's why God happens, because we matter. God happens in your life. Hope is a real thing. How can knowing that not change you, at least a little bit? So let it change you a little bit. See what happens. That little bit just might grow to become a medium bit. And then maybe a great big bit. Yeah. Let change happen. Slowly at first. You know, like turning right when you used to turn left. Just for a walk today. Okay. And now for that great sermon from the past that I've been promising you. They're all over the floor. And I'm out of time. Sorry about that. So you know what? Let's skip the sermon. And I'm just going to say, thanks be to God. An ongoing Merry Christmas. And a spiffy epiphany to all. Let us pray.
God of Epiphany, revealing yourself to us in so many ways. In the wonder of a guiding star long ago, or the wonder of a sky full of stars today. In the gifts of presence, inspiration, and hope. And in the gifts that you reveal in us, the things that we can do and be. God, shall we pray from the shadows, or shall we pray in the light? We know them both. There are times when it feels like the light seems to be gone, when tyrants rule and love seems forgotten, when war ravages not just countries, but communities, and real people are displaced. God, we pray for the victims of war, and we commit ourselves to be allies of peace. We pray for the displaced, those who find themselves in a place that is not home, leaving so much behind to escape, or living in a shelter, or on the streets, or even in a home, afraid to be themselves. We pray and commit ourselves to home, a home free from fear, home free from racism, home without violence, home shaped by love. We commit ourselves to home for everyone. God, we pray for those who are temporarily displaced by grief, by illness, by those things that our heads declare will not last forever, but our hearts aren't so sure. God, we pray that we may all pass through our dark valleys sooner than later, and always aware that we are not alone. and that we will find our way home. But even as we pray in the shadows, a cold rain weighing us down, we still see the light. The light in the sky. The light up ahead. The light from within. The lights that keep us going. The lights that lead us home. So many lights. We give thanks, God, for the light that appears when we most need it. A kind word, a better way, another option, a chance to rest, a surprising resource, the awareness of your presence and the letting go of fear. We give thanks for the gift of your light in the world and all around us. Let us keep our hearts open to such light that we may never miss it. And God, we thank you for the gifts that you reveal in us. The things that we can do that bring light not only to our lives, but to other lives as well. The gifts that surprise us and often delight us. The gifts that allow us to walk gently into the world, unafraid and ready to share. God, we embrace not only the lights in the sky, the lights of the heavens, but we share the light on earth, the light that brings us together, the light that reveals our gifts and the truth that we are all your children, wonderfully brought together to share the light. In worry and in gratitude, in love and in commitment, we pray in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Let us go forth from this moment, sharing our gifts and following a star. Or you know what? Let's go forth from this moment and just go into the world aware of God's presence. Aware that epiphanies lie all around us. Let us simply go forth from this moment knowing that God the Creator is with us. Knowing that Jesus walks with us. And knowing that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again, digitally or in person. Amen.